Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
It's time for the Friday gathering now, and this week I'm joined in the studio by Fine Gael TD for Dublin Mid West and Minister of State for Public Procurement and E-Government Eimear Higgins, Sinn Féin TD for Meath East and spokesperson on education and youth Darren O'Rourke, political correspondent with the Sunday Times, journalist Claire Scott, and business journalist and author Tom Lyons. And you're all very welcome. Thank you for coming in. So listen, we have to start with tariffs. Tom, I might begin with you, because I was just saying before the break that I was seeing on the wires that European stock markets are plunging. Frankfurt down 5%, I see here. What's the latest on what's been going on this morning with markets?
Well, we've seen it rolling right across the world. I mean, we saw the S&P down 2.4 trillion dollars yesterday. We've seen all of the major stocks over there falling, but we've seen companies like Amazon down 9%. You know, poor old Jeff Bezos having his wedding in Venice over the summer. Like, he's going to have a lot of things to think about. And then we've seen this kind of roll around the world. We've seen the Japanese banks all going down. We've seen China down, India down. And presumably towards the back end of today, we'll see the US fall again.
Right. You see, and then the what people are trying to figure out here is whether this will affect Donald Trump and his calculations here. Like, will these drops rein him in on tariffs? Well, we don't know the answer to that question.
We know that Trump has said so far he's said he's sticking with the tariffs. And he said, look, this is like an operation. It's kind of painful at first, but ultimately we're going in the right direction. And we've seen Howard Lutnick saying that they have no intention of backing down either. But we will have to see. I mean, like, these are very powerful companies, and these are vast sums of money, which we are seeing being lost overnight. But I think that we're going to see Trump. He's going to stick to where he is currently. But it's going to be really interesting to see how does this play out over 6 months when if we see the markets continuing to stay down and we see the price of everything in America going up very sharply.
Well, maybe, and I mean, tell me whether you agree with this, this sort of adds more weight to the argument that the EU shouldn't retaliate. They should sit back and wait.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you look at the way that China's reaction is, what, as China tends to do, it's aggressive. And it says, look, we are going to stick on tariffs of 34% starting on the 10th of April, which is not very far away. I think Europe probably should be trying to play a different game, which is taking its time, trying to negotiate, showing that it is prepared to respond and it is tough enough to respond, but not jumping into anything. Because I do think that, you know, if you think about that China tariff of 34%, we saw Reuters saying that the price of an iPhone in America is going to go up to $2,300. So you can get one for under $1,000 at the moment.
Right.
When people are going to the shops in America and they're going, why can't I afford my iPhone anymore?
That's why.
And I think that when they start looking for cheap clothing, cheap goods, all of those things are tied up with China, they're going to see that this is really, really serious.
Yeah, that people are accustomed
to
being able
to buy. So Europe
needs to
play that middle ground of not responding too aggressively and trying to take that, to try and get Trump to see the pain that he's inflicting upon the United States.
Claire, you've been tracking this, I know, politically here, and you've been trying to find out whether there's a plan at government level to deal with this. What have you learned?
Yeah, I was speaking with ministers last week on this, and I think what is concerning is that the sense within government is that there is still a deal to be made here, that there is going to be some sort of negotiation. You're still dealing with the US president, who's the author of the art of the deal. He's going to turn around at some point and say something along the lines of, look, you can avoid these tariffs if you do this, along the lines of, you know, more American automobiles being purchased or more LNG. But it's very difficult to see that when there is very little communication coming from the US in terms of, you know, meeting with Ursula von der Leyen or even engaging with a number of the commissioners on all of this. You know, it kind of feels like a bit of wishful thinking and a bit of naivety, I think, from the part of
Ireland at the moment. Lack of a plan other than wait and see, he might pull back.
Yeah, I was speaking with the minister last week and he said, you know, there's no big emergency planning document that's in the making here. You know, it is a real wait and see sort of.
Were you surprised at that?
I was very surprised at that because I think you always think that in the background, look, we've known about these tariffs coming in for quite some time since. I've been writing about these since before the US election. So the idea that, you know, this is a complete surprise to us is concerning that there hasn't been this huge amount of work going on both
fortunately,
sides.
Fortunately, we have a Minister of State here. There's no big document, Eimear, no plan.
Well, what there is, and I suppose the very moment that tariffs were mooted, what Tánaiste to Simon Harris put together was a trade forum, and that's meeting for the third time at midday today. And that has all our relevant government departments. It also has Enterprise Ireland, the IDA, Board BIA, Chambers of Commerce, including the American Chamber of Commerce. And as we speak, the Labour Employer Economic Forum, LEAF, is meeting as well. So there are a lot happening domestically. Obviously, we're playing our part in terms of Europe as well. First, we need to quantify the challenge that Ireland faces, and that's what these meetings are about. The European discussions have already been underway. Tánaiste to Simon Harris has met with a number of his counterparts on a bilateral basis, countries like Denmark, like Italy, like Germany. And on Monday, there will be another EU trade meeting as well, where that's all ministers of trade.
It feels, having spoken to the Tánaiste yesterday, Commissioner McGrath today, that we are sort of powerless. You know, it'll be the EU who will act on our behalf. We might be able to influence that in some way, but there are 27 other countries who, some of them will probably have a greater say than we will.
No, we will be able to influence the EU, absolutely. And I heard Commissioner McGrath on your station earlier today saying the work that he's carrying out as well. I mean, from all intents and purposes, this is a Brexit too for us. And particularly because Ireland was more exposed during Brexit than some EU countries, and we're more exposed than some EU countries. When it comes to the United States as well. And that's because there's 210,000 jobs here when you look at just those US multinationals based here. And that's not even taking into account the spin-off trade and the spin-off jobs that have all been created and generated. Obviously, from a tax perspective, that tax take is what we need from an employer's perspective and from a corporation perspective. Those taxes are what fund our services. So we need to be very vocal in terms of protecting our jobs and protecting those tax takes.
Darren, just when you see what China is doing with the 34% retaliation now tariffs on the United States, that's exactly what Sinn Féin is saying we shouldn't do here, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think this really is a time for, you know, steady heads, for calm heads, but for a real busyness in the background. So we shouldn't be settling. I think the government, its agencies, enterprise agencies, industrial agencies need to be busy using every influence and contact that they have to try and open up.
That's what they're doing. Yeah.
No, and I think it's, and I think that's important and to be welcomed, and we need to see more of it. And we also need to see, for example, the North-South Ministerial Council to meet. We need a meeting of all the party leaders. I think there is a commitment to do that this week. I hope that's followed through on. We need all of those lines of communications to be opened up. And I think importantly, at a European level, because it's clear that Europe could take a move here, for example, that is not at all in the interest of Ireland.
Like on big tech, like, do you mean?
For example, yeah. And I think I heard the Tánaiste refer to that as a nuclear option. And it absolutely would be a nuclear option.
What can we do about that? Like, we know France and Germany have already said that that's sort of top of their list when it comes to retaliation.
Well, I think it's important that we use Irish influence at a European level to ensure that our position is well understood. And I also think we should use whatever connection, whatever influence we have on the state side, in the United States.
But traditionally, your own party was Eurosceptic. Now we're going to them saying, can you please listen to us here, because you've got our interests, or you should have our interests at the front of mind.
No, and like, we know the European bloc is diverse, and we heard from the Commissioner this morning that they're looking at aluminium and steel in the first instance. I think, you know, it is important to say that, you know, the European Union shouldn't appear weak on these matters, but at the same time, it shouldn't act have an act of self-sabotage like the American president.
Do you think we're at a disadvantage because we can't have a bilateral conversation with the United States?
Well, I think we are at a disadvantage in that regard. But at the same time, I think, we need to use absolutely every avenue we have. And some of them are formal and some of them are informal in terms of ensuring that the Irish position is well understood. Because obviously, we want the best possible outcome in a, really difficult situation from an Irish perspective. And now is the opportunity to be really, really busy in articulating that position.
Well, the bottom line is we're relying on the big boys in Europe to cut a deal that is favourable for us. And it is likely that it won't be if big tech is what they're thinking of going at.
We've seen the response from China, and China's in a different position than the European Union. But to make it, it has to be absolutely clear that we all lose in a trade war. That should be in nobody's interest. And Sinn Féin's position was, we do have to weigh up all of these considerations, but we shouldn't try to out-Trump Trump in relation to these matters. What we need to do is to try and de-escalate. And, he's a difficult man, difficult administration to deal with, but we need to make every effort to get an understanding of where this is going and to use the opportunity to de-escalate.
It would be useful to have a lever when it comes to our corporation tax, but we don't have that either now because of the OECD deal that we struck on that front.
No, but I think there's lots that we have, for example. I think, there should be a clear understanding that, for example, whether it was tech, whether it's services, whether it's in relation to pharma. And I think, the prospect of tariffs on pharma will have a significant impact on Ireland. I think there needs to be, a busyness at the minute to ensure that, the American administration understands the complexity of these, supply
but
chains.
But busyness isn't going to get us anywhere. Like Eimear just outlined all the meetings that are happening and the different forums that are underway as we speak. Like, busyness isn't going to solve it. What do we have that we can do?
No, well, obviously you have your influence, and we have built it up for a very, very long time, at a European level, at American level, and international level. We have to use that. Now is the time to use that influence.
So it's a soft power.
To say we have to prepare a plan. I think we do need it. I appreciate that. It's things are moving very quickly, but we do need to move to a position where we have a plan. We have a sector by sector analysis of the impact of these tariffs, of the responses to them, and a plan to support businesses and to ensure that our economy is put on a sustainable footing, that we're not in the future overly exposed compared to other countries.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you talk about soft power and it's important now, but it wasn't important St. Patrick's Week when you decided not to go to the White House.
Well, I think, and the flip side of that is, the argument that Donald Trump only understands strong leaders, so there's the balance in relation to all of these things.
I'm sure he doesn't know what Mary Lou McDonald is like because she didn't take the chance to go.
If you look at Donald Trump's perspective of, who his friends are, and I think he's in the position a number of months now, it seems to be the case that he's treating his friends like his enemies and his enemies by his friend like his friends. So I don't know that has done us any harm at all by not going. In fact, you might say, where's the evidence that we have had a positive impact by going to
waste of time, the visit of Micheál Martin?
Dialogue is always important, and especially when we're talking about de-escalating crisis, and especially when we're talking about trying to get people around a table, dialogue is always important. And I'm really glad that our Taoiseach Micheál Martin did go to the White House to start that dialogue. They hadn't met before, and it's important that you do engage with world leaders.
Where did it get us though? Does Darren not have a point there? It didn't make much odds really, did it?
I don't think we'd be in a worse situation if it didn't happen. I mean, that's the point that he seems to be making. And ultimately, I do think that dialogue and de-escalation are the only way at the moment. We'll have to, as an EU, we will absolutely have to look at countermeasures if dialogue and negotiation aren't something that's willing to happen. But that has to be the first port of call.
Tom?
Just look, at the moment, this is going to be dealt with at a much bigger level than Ireland. And we are powerless in that sense. This is going to be between Europe, China, India, Canada, America. So we're powerless at the biggest level, but that soft power, as things settle down and as deals start to be struck, and as maybe Trump takes a step backwards when he sees what he's doing to all of the billionaires who put him in power and who are great supporters of the Republicans, as they start seeing I don't like being 10% richer or less rich overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Will pressure come on him and he'll be looking to take a step back on certain issues, trying to save face a little bit. And when that happens, having those roots into Washington and having a connection to Trump and the people around him could be very helpful.
See, it's hard to quantify, you know, what the impact of that will be, that pressure, because, you know, it was said here when he put the levy on cars coming in that he had all sorts of pressure being brought to bear by a very powerful American automobile lobby group organization. Didn't work. He ignored them.
He did, and he is somebody who, you know, he takes time to change. But we have seen how transactional he is,
mm-hmm.
and how he can make a firm decision and then make a U-turn and present it somehow as a win. Are we going to see that situation here in time? Because you look at what he's doing to the global markets, and you look at like how that is going to kick in to the American consumer as they go to buy their drugs, as they go to buy their iPhones, as they go on their holidays, and they're finding that there are all of these obstacles and the cost of living has gone. Like, there's already so many people in America who are just about getting by, who are going to be pushed under. Like, I think there's going to be pressure on him to start taking a step back from this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a problem here to deal with, Claire, as well. This is on the tariffs that we're going to have, the differential between North and South. You know, and I saw on the 6-1 News there was brewing companies or distilleries, rather, who were held up as an example here. It's a really tricky one, isn't it? When you have 10% levied on Northern Ireland, 20% on the Republic.
It's a massive problem. And also the admin, the red tape that differential is going to add is going to be very substantial as well. Under the Windsor framework, the North is going to be obliged to pay the EU tariffs that are coming in through the North and going into the Republic. But they will be able to claim back that differential from the British government. But that could take a lot of time to get set up. So there, we have those mechanisms for this kind of tariff situation built into the Windsor framework. But it wasn't foreseen that it was going to be this extensive, this vast. So I think once if all of this goes ahead as we think it is going to go ahead, that's going to add massive admin, bureaucracy, red tape for the North.
Right.
And it's not just for businesses.
It's not
as well.
Just the whiskey business. But Tom, it is a problem across the board, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, like, that's going to be it's a big differentiator. I mean, Irish business, like, there is already close connections between the Republic and the North. And you could see people starting to complete their projects in their northern plants and switching production there, switching resources there. So I think that is something that, you know, in a way is going to bring North and South closer.
Well, Darren, I saw you nodding there. I mean, are you already hearing that that's what businesses are considering?
Well, hasn't it always ever been the case that businesses follow the incentives, you know? And I think it's immediately obvious that's what will happen, because there'll be a logic in it from a business perspective in terms of bottom lines.
But it's so complex, isn't it? I mean, you heard Micheál Martin referring to dairy, which we heard a lot about during Brexit. So we all know this, that it crosses back and forth, like the car parts in America.
And we've had cases here before where we've had, you know, products with, you know, a tricolour stuck on them produced in Ireland, and the production piece was literally putting them in the package or treating a meat product, for example. The difficulty in all of this stuff is there seems to be a complete lack of understanding from the American president of the complexity and interconnected nature of all of these supply chains. Of, you know, like, it's going, for me, it appears like very likely that you're going to have this massive bureaucracy even to administer these types of schemes and these types of tariffs, and you know, that just slows everything down. It is a very
But
very,
I mean, it wasn't thought through.
No,
I mean,
look at
how they came up with the figures. I don't fully understand it, how they came up with the tariffs that they said were being levied on them. Then there was the cardboard chart. Then there was the tariffs on the penguins, you know, treating the Republic and Northern Ireland differently. I mean, really, it tells you, I suppose, that the whole thing was just designed to strong arm everyone else into action, right?
Well, it was designed because it's a gimmick. It's a gimmick for his electorate. What he wants to be seen as is someone who's really, really strong and really tough. And ultimately, what he wants to do is bring manufacturing jobs back to the United States. And I suppose he definitely is giving the air of someone who isn't minded about the consequences. And that's where we need to make sure that the consequences are absolutely spelled out. I mean, we live now in a global economy, and it's very difficult to unwind that. Like different parts of products are segmented in different areas, are processed in different countries. It's all cross-border trade. When you look at services going cross-border, like, it's a complex global economy that we're living in at the moment. And I think that has to be understood. And I mean, only, I suppose, negotiations and time will tell whether or not tariffs like this can withstand that. Mm-hmm. But that's the real question. Is this possible even at this point?
And I suppose that question as well of we don't know what damage, hurt, harm to workers and families in the United States and across the world that Donald Trump is willing to sacrifice until he realises that this stuff is absolutely madness.
Just on that, on supports that might be needed here for workers, for families and for business, I'm sure you heard Micheál Martin this morning saying it won't be anything like the COVID supports, the Brexit supports, because he's more focused and the government is more focused on building out our infrastructure, that's where the spare cash will be going.
Look, I think it's fair enough at this stage to say that we don't have a complete picture in terms of how this stuff is going to work out. And as I said, I think we need that sector by sector analysis. Different businesses, individual business, different sectors are going to be impacted. But we have to have that understanding. We do need a response. And some of that may involve supports for a period of time when
right,
we have more information.
He spoke about reshaping the economy. That's where the focus should be.
We need to do both. We need to do both. And actually, we've been calling for a long, long time in Sinn Féin and others the same, that we wouldn't be as exposed. And we absolutely need investment in housing and in the grid and in water infrastructure, but we also need investment in childcare, for example. We need to ensure that we have, you know, sustainable.
Well, he did say the ambition is still there to do all of those things when it comes to childcare, but you know that, and they put this in the programme for government. If the picture changes substantially, then you know those promises and commitments may change, and the picture has changed substantially.
Well, they didn't need the picture to change to move off their pre-election commitments, to be fair. For example, in housing targets, for example, in, you know, student fees, just this week, for example, in the Occupied Territories Bill, for example, but government is about choices, you know, and when they had these choices before, they went after the blind pension and they went after other, you know, vulnerable cohorts, whereas we do need this to be a catalyst for a transformation of investment in critical infrastructure, of building a new Irish economy.
And that's what he said.
But I always point to, for example, the opportunity that we have in renewable energy, for example. We should be a world leader in it, not like we are at the minute.
So what's your understanding, Eimear, on supports for businesses and for individuals if this really goes down the road that we're talking about this morning? I mean, what's going to happen?
Well, at the moment, what we're doing is that sector by sector analysis. We have those two big meetings happening today, the Leaf meeting, and in addition to that, the trade meeting. So that's about seeing exactly what we're dealing with. We're not at the point where we're talking about publicly about what supports will be made available to businesses. We are at the point where we're doing all we can to protect those businesses and to protect those jobs. And we've faced challenges before, and Fine Gael has led us through those. We've gone from the recession, from deficit to surplus, through COVID times. It was all about protecting livelihoods and lives, and through Brexit, it was about protecting jobs and our border. And I'm confident we have the right team in place to lead us through this big challenge.
I have to leave it there. Thank you very much for coming in to our gathering panel. Eimear Higgins, Darren O'Rourke, Claire Scott and Tom Lyons. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.